Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for this morning's message is a portion of our epistle lesson where we read beginning at verse 18. I consider our present sufferings to be unimportant when I compare them with the glory soon to be revealed to us. For the created world is waiting on tiptoe to see the unveiling of God's children. For this created world must waste away, not because it wants to, but because its master would have it so. But it does so with hope, because this created world also will be freed from the slavery of decay, in order to share the freedom of glory with the children of God. For we know that all creation has been groaning with the pains of childbirth until now. These are the words of our text. I'll make a confession to you this evening. When I have the slightest ache or pain or touch of cold or illness, I act like I'm on my deathbed. And my wife says, it isn't that bad. Just tell yourself you're not going to get sick. I hear wives speak about husbands, and that seems to be a kind of a guy thing. When we're sick, I mean, we're on our deathbed. When our wife is sick, she's taking care of us and the sick kids, and goes on and on. I've yet to hear her say to me with St. Paul, your present suffering isn't as important as the glory that's awaiting to be revealed in the coming age. That's what Paul is saying to us. Because we are by nature grumblers and complainers, aren't we? We look at those children of Israel that came out of Egypt and we read of their murmuring and their muttering and their grumbling and their complaining. And we say to ourselves, you know, if I were one of those people, I wouldn't have been at all like that. But we are. In January, we were talking about how cold it was. Today, we're talking about how hot and humid it is. We talk about our aches and our pains. And we look at the world around us, and it's also aching and paining, not because of anything that it has done, but because of what we have done, what our father Adam and our mother Eve have done. By their bringing sin and destruction into their own lives, they also brought that sin and destruction and decay upon the world. And we see it all around us. We can look around our world with our eyes, and we can listen with our ears, and we can see and hear the mightiness and awesome power of God, the Creator, who brought all of this universe into being. And from our confirmation days, we understand that to be part of the natural knowledge of God that tells us that there is a God out there. But it doesn't tell us anything about God. And yet we can also look at the world and we can see the destructive forces of sin at work in creation. Maybe you didn't see it on the news, but I believe it was last week, a volcano erupted in Alaska. An entire community of four, I think, had to be evacuated because of it. A few years ago, there was that huge tsunami that swept through Eastern Asia. We have earthquakes even in the Midwest. There are tornadoes. There's flooding. All of those things happen and remind us about sin in our world. And yet, people of our day and age just sort of go through life oblivious to sin, to their own sin personally, and to sin in general. Their response is, how could a loving God allow something like that to happen? It always ends up being God's fault, just like in the Garden of Eden. It was that serpent you made. God, if you wouldn't have made the serpent, he wouldn't have deceived me. Well, maybe it had come in another form. Maybe it would have been a bat, or a cat, or a dog, or a fox. God, it was that woman you made. If you wouldn't have made her, she wouldn't have deceived me, and I wouldn't have eaten. There's no voice for creation, though. It's that man and woman you made, God. If they wouldn't have been deceived, we wouldn't be groaning under this weight of decay that they've brought upon us. Certainly there was no voice for the animal that God killed, who gave his skins to cover Adam and Eve's nakedness. And in our own bodies we have our aches and pains, but how often do we consider those to be reminders of our fallenness, of our sinfulness? That we too are in a perpetual, I guess there is no such thing as perpetual, scientists would say, but we're moving in a state of decay. From the very moment we were born, we took our first step toward death. Our cells die and regenerate, and the time's going to come when they won't regenerate themselves. We can probably make, it's probably more than $6 million man with our medical technology. We can replace almost every part of our bodies, but none of it prolongs life, does it? Because sin has corrupted this flesh that God created to be good, to be very good. It contaminates and corrupts the world that God created to be very good. And so we see decay, we see destruction, we see the forces of sin. And Paul says, the very earth and creation itself is groaning, it's waiting, as a woman in childbirth. She's waiting to see that child come out healthy and safe and then to rejoice in that. The earth is waiting for a birth also. A birth of the children of God. And by God's grace, that's already taken place in our lives at the font of baptism, where we became God's children, where God adopted us to be his sons and his daughters. So the adoption that Paul is speaking about isn't something that's going to happen in the end, but something that we have now, today. But what we're waiting for is for that to be made known in a way that there is no doubt. That the faith that we confess in our hearts will be made known outwardly. Nothing will be hidden. And when that day comes, that's the end of the world as we know it, because then it's the ushering in of that new creation, that new heaven and that new earth. We've already had that adoption as God's sons and daughters by virtue of our baptism. And he continues to strengthen us in that grace and in that faith through his word and through his meal, where he gives us spiritual medicine. He doesn't necessarily cure weak knees or tennis elbow or any other physical disease that we have. But he strengthens us in our faith so that we can stand firm in the midst of those physical diseases, that we can stand firm in the midst of calamity around us in the creation. Decay is around us. We'll see it again in the fall. We'll see the beautiful color of the leaves, and then they'll turn to that ugly brown. And we'll have those oak leaves to remind us all winter long as they hang on those trees until spring to drop off. We'll have that black, yucky snow along the highway to remind us of the darkness of our sin. But we'll also have that beautiful white snow that covers that, reminding us again that in Christ Jesus, we're covered. God doesn't cover you and I and our nakedness of sin and shame and guilt with the skin of an animal. He covers us with the holy, precious blood of His Son poured out for us on the cross. And that speaks a far better word to us than was spoken to Adam and Eve in the garden. It speaks a word of hope and comfort and salvation to us. And yes, as we see the calamities of the world, as we see the earth groaning under the weight of our sin, it's a reminder to us that we live in a fallen world. And it's not a matter of God allowing it to happen. It's a reality of sin in this fallen world in which we live. We wake up in the morning and our joints don't quite move as well as we'd like. And we see a few more hairs in the bottom of the sink. All those remind us, too, that we're growing closer and closer to that time when we'll breathe our last. But by God's grace, we don't have to worry about it, because He's covered us with the blood of His Son. He's given us eternal life. It's ours. It's yours right now. And so we also, Paul says, deep within us, deep within our souls, we long and we yearn and we groan for that day when God will reveal His children. Because then we'll know that our bodies will finally be released from the sin, from the disease, from the death that plague us. May God continue to work His grace in us as His children. And may we continue to come to Him as our dear Father, making our requests known to Him in prayer, remembering our adoption as His children in baptism, recalling that day and celebrating it every day of our life, until that day when this world shall pass away and we find ourselves in the new heaven and the new earth, rejoicing with all of God's children throughout history. Amen.